Thank you, Lord, for gathering us in your name. By your grace, Lord, we just look to you right now, to the power of your Holy Spirit, to your word, to open us up, Lord, a little bit more tonight, Lord. And we just thank you again for this opportunity, Lord. We put our trust in you, and we give you praise in the name of Jesus. Well, it's good to see everyone tonight. It's always a pleasure to be here. I guess it's a good thing for me to be up here right now because it's something that the Lord ordained, and I know that it's all about him and his word and not so much the vessel. So there's a few thoughts tonight about the overcomer's journey, and specifically with Joshua. And so we know he was an overcomer, Old Testament overcomer, if you will. And some of the first mentions of Joshua in the Old Testament show us this, how the overcomer's attitude is, okay? We know Joshua was a mighty man of God, and sometimes in, I guess, church cultures, he might be overlooked, but he did a lot of miracles. But, you know, it may not be so much publicized. He did things like he either stopped the earth from rotating or the sun and moon stopped. Remember in Joshua 10, he talked about that. We're going to talk about tonight how the Red Sea, not the Red Sea, I'm sorry, the Jordan River stopped and they walked across on dry land. So Joshua was definitely a man of faith. I'm pretty sure he's in that 11th chapter of Hebrews too. And he must have been pretty special because our Lord Jesus was named after him, if you guys know that. Jesus in Hebrew is really Joshua. So, and that means God is our God of salvation, our God brings salvation. All right? And my little cousin O'Shea is not here, but he was called O'Shea too. So before he was called Joshua, and I thought that was cool. All right, so we're going to look at the third chapter of Joshua. You can turn there. I'm going to talk a little bit more before we read anything, and you probably want to turn to Romans 8 too. But we know that the number 3, just off back, is the number of resurrection, right? Jesus rose on the third day from the dead. It's also the number of the Trinity, and we're going to talk a little bit about that third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, tonight. Okay? So we're going to be in Joshua 3, and I think that that fits, and it's not a coincidence. This chapter describes, in all practical purposes, of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Okay? This entire book of Joshua is a type, in type, describes the overcomer's battle of, well, overcoming. All, mind you, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know you guys heard this before. The weapons of our warfare aren't human, right? Aren't carnal, are human, as they say, right? Okay? And think about that. I really want you guys to think about this tonight and let the Lord minister to you about how we don't even wrestle against flesh and blood, okay, in any level. All right? That's not our battle. That's not our battle, okay, ever. And it's, I think the devil tries to get us blinded by what we see or hear or feel and all these things. But, you know, he attacks us through our humanity, okay? He can't beat God's spirit. And actually, we all know that the battle's already won, okay? So with that being said, before we get into the scripture again, I want to talk a little bit more about Joshua. And we know that before he did anything, we see that before he could lead the people, be a minister, or even go in himself to possess the land, Joshua had to learn from the Lord, right? He had to get familiar with the Lord and have spend time. For us, that's like us learning the gospel, okay? It's like we all want to do stuff all the time, and we want to be involved, and that's all right, you know? That's natural. That's good. in a sense. But, you know, the Lord has to kind of set you down and minister to you personally the gospel, okay, in a personal way. So let's look at, real quick, Exodus 33:11. I know I had you turn to other place, but I'm sorry. Exodus 33:11, real quick. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaks unto his friend. Man, could you imagine that? But I have to say this right now, but just think about it. Doesn't the Lord speak to you like that? Or even more intimately than that? Okay. People are sometimes taken back, but isn't our walk closer to the Lord than it said Adam walked with God, right? Don't we do that in a more intimate sense? And that's because of the Holy Spirit, okay? The Holy Spirit brings you closer to God. As a matter of fact, he brings you all things that are Christ, okay? All, and not partial. And we're talking about all, okay? And for everyone, all right? So in Exodus 33:11, God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. He turned again, and this is Moses turned again into the camp. But listen, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, departed not out of the tabernacle. Okay? He was there. Moses had things to do, I guess. And so did Joshua. But what do you think he was doing? Learning from the Lord, taking that in intimately with himself, right? Okay? And I promise you this. The Lord wants that time with you, okay? I promise you, he does. Intimately, alone, with him, okay? Don't let it just be a public show, okay? Because I guarantee you, he's going to set you alone. You know, we talk about going without the camp, all these things. Well, that happens to be something that is a characteristic that an overcomer has, okay? It's something that is for us to learn quietly, in a sense, the gospel, okay? Then you can go do something that the Lord does for you or whatever you want to go get into, like Joshua. It says he was a young man at that point. We know that he was at least 80 years old when they went into the promised land, right? Because him and Caleb were the only two that went in that were the originals, okay? In Deuteronomy 31:7, Moses called unto Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. Okay? Be of good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Okay? Joshua was encouraged with this, I counted, 6 times between Deuteronomy 36 and Joshua 1. Okay? 6 times he had to be encouraged. One time, even we were reading today in class that in that first chapter of Joshua, he said, didn't I tell you be strong? Like he had to remind him. And I was telling the kids, think about this. And all you older people too as well. Just think, that never gets old. You will always need encouragement. Always, 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 always. Okay? And it just so happens, the way God does it is with what? Each other. All right? I don't think I'd even be here today if I didn't come to church this morning. And I'm being honest because I got some more notes that I didn't know I needed. But, you know, it never is anything that you, I guess, expect. Like Pastor was saying, you know, there's always more, okay? But you need encouragement, and the Lord does it that way, okay, through each other sometimes. All right? So, again, that was, I counted 6 times. Then finally, at the end of that first chapter of Joshua in 1:18, Joshua was able to say this, okay? Hearken to God's words. Then he was telling the people, be strong and of good courage. He was able to give that after he got it. You see the pattern? Head shook for people who can't see. All right. So I have here the battle's Jesus, right? Amen. The battle's his. He won it. It's victory. Okay? I'm not talking about circumstances again or how things appear right now. I mean, if we didn't have the hope of God and the love of Christ and the joy from the Spirit, every prayer request would just cause you to be depressed. Think about it. I heard some sad stuff just now, you know. But I know my encouragement was that, I get to pray for these people and actually see God work in it and be a part of that. That's encouragement, and it brought joy. But if I didn't have that encouragement or joy, I would be depressed, because a lot of stuff happens to God's saints, right? But we know what it's for in all this, okay? But the victory is already won, okay? That's a godly mindset and an attitude that you need when you're positioned like Israel. It was in this third chapter of Joshua, about to cross this Jordan, right? They were about to do what? Go in and party and relax and put their feet up and enjoy the milk and honey. Nope. They had a fight. They had some battles. They had a drive out, okay? They had a drive out of their land, all these people we'll read about, okay? But the point is that it's a finished work, right? It's a finished work. Christ did it all, okay? And that's how it is with us, okay? It's already won. It doesn't matter what it feels like, how it looks, what everyone is saying, what things are against me now, currently, okay? None of that matters. But why? Well, that's why we're about to turn over to Romans 8 real quick and see how, okay, some of these things work. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. Okay, and there's a reason why we're turning here before we get into Joshua 3, and that's because we're going to look at some types. Now, when you look at types, it could be confusing if someone's not familiar with Paul's gospel, right? I think that's the actual key that unlocks the door to all mysteries, is Paul's gospel. Okay, and when you get to looking at types, it's the Holy Spirit's going to point you back to Paul's gospel, I guarantee you, okay? And it's only confusing for those who aren't familiar with that, and I'll add this too. You're probably not very familiar with Paul's gospel if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And I say that because it's true. And but that doesn't mean you can't memorize scripture, right? Every normal human can memorize doctrine. You guys know that you can memorize doctrine. You can learn it. I mean, kids learn stuff in school by memory. But that doesn't mean that it's alive to you, okay? The Holy Spirit makes that alive to you, and we'll see this, okay? The Holy Spirit enlightens you. He enables you, right? And he actually is the agent that glorifies you together with Christ. He does all this, okay? And we'll see this again, okay? So Romans 8:10, okay? If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, you are no more debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Okay, or you shall live by the Holy Spirit, mortifying the deeds of the body. Okay. Now look at this, verse 14. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if you're led by the Spirit, what does that make you? I'm talking about led by the Spirit I'm not just talking about speaking in tongues, you guys, okay? We're talking about a life. He's talking about making, mortifying. That's a process, okay? It's a separate event from being saved, Christians. You know, I think we all know that, but I have to say that. It's separate. Okay, it's the Holy Spirit comes in after you're saved. And I have that in my notes in John 14:17, right? I guess I need to turn there real quick. So Gospel of John 14, just to show this, because we heard it earlier today, right? Where is it? 17. Okay, even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, can't receive him. Okay, if you're not saved, you can't even receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. Okay, but he shall be in you. Well, that happened for them on Pentecost, right? It happened for me right there on these stairs. I was only about 11 years old. Felicia was praying with me, okay, at Vacation Bible School. I don't even think I went to this church at that time, but I spoke in tongues at 11 right there. And that's when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? It was separate from me being saved. It doesn't all just come at once, in a sense, because he's with you, and you can't even accept Jesus into your heart unless it was by the Holy Spirit. But, okay, you need that infilling for this, to what Paul just talked about in that 8th chapter of Romans. Flip back there real quick, please. Okay. Now, we know that in verse 11, when it says, the Spirit of him, that's the Holy Spirit, okay? That's resurrection power. Is there any greater power out there? I don't even think so, okay? The Holy Spirit power, resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead, he's with you. That same Spirit is not separate, okay? That's for you, Christians. It is for us. Please take advantage of this, okay? That's for us, okay? That Spirit, okay? Okay, he came to dwell. And if you need more notes on that, Acts 8, Pastor Jesse just preached on this. Acts 8, Acts 19:2, and then every other page in here, I'm sure will probably point to the Holy Spirit somehow. Okay. Also in verse 11 here in Romans 8, you see that that word dwell means to occupy house, right? Figuratively, physically, to come in. Okay. But listen to this. It also means co-inhabit. Okay. And as of a husband and a wife. And again, who espoused you to Christ? Who really did? Who really shows you the mysteries of Christ? Who really does? It's not your intellect, okay? It's not the fact you memorize doctrine, okay? He literally takes the word and makes it alive for us, you guys. Literally, in a way that nothing else can. And if you're not knowing what I'm talking about right now, pray for the Holy Spirit to intercede, because you need this. Otherwise, it's like a religion. Otherwise, it's like a motion going through or something of that nature, okay? He wants to come in and espouse you to Christ in an intimate way, okay? Okay, verse 13, not that we have to die to the flesh. Isn't the flesh dead? Right? Think about it. It's dead, okay? You have to be made alive to Christ in a more increasing way, okay? The Holy Spirit brings life, okay? Remember when Jesus said that he came to bring life? Okay, and yep, more abundantly, okay, and more abundantly, okay? That's one of those ends. You can have life, Christians, because if you're a Christian, you have life, okay? But do you have that abundance in life? Okay, it's the Holy Spirit that brings that, okay? He says, and more abundantly. It's one of those ends, okay? Remember the other one that I'm thinking of? He wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the extra part, okay? So that's what we're trying to get at. We want that fullness. And I guarantee you, it's not really extra, because it's all of what God totally intends for every Christian, okay? I guarantee you guys, it's not strange to me to hear about people who know about the bride and never heard of living waters or anything like that, because it's in the Bible. And that's what God wants for each and every single person. It's a mystery. Look at Ephesians 5 towards the end of it. We are there today. Okay, it is a mystery. But that's only because it hasn't been revealed. Think about it. This curtain back here, I think there's a bathtub back there or something behind this curtain. But I really wouldn't know unless it's pulled back. Right? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He reveals it to us. He reveals Christ to us. Then not only shows us, he takes you up there, he puts you back there too. All right? Then he enables you to fellowship back there and all the good things that come with knowing Christ. Okay? It's his job, the Holy Spirit, to lead us into all truth, to lead us into all truth. Okay? To lead the children of Israel into the promised land. and to lead us into living in the hope. Isn't that what it basically is? Living in the hope of God, right? Living in the hope of Christ, okay? And it says, all those who are led by the Spirit, that makes you a son. Because I'm pretty sure that word children there means son. And that's a mature. What else is going to mature you besides the leading of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God, okay? I just want to read that four verses again from a different version real quick. Then we'll finally get into Joshua. Lord willing. Okay, but if Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you'll live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Okay, so remember that. All right, now in Joshua, chapter 3. I hope this isn't boring. I was just kidding, Aaron, because I know God's word is not boring. But just think about it, you guys. This is like, you're going to come to a point where you have no strength in you. And if, you know, God's going to bring you there, okay? Don't just keep trying to grab yourself up by your bootstraps and I got to tough through this. No, it's okay. It is okay to be weak, you guys. When you're weak, He makes you strong. He'll make you strong, okay? And that's what the Holy Spirit does, okay? So please, just take that, okay? And let's look at actually 2:23. So we know that before they went in, they camped out on the other side of the Jordan. Joshua sent two spies in. In verse 22, the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all the things that befell them. And they said to Joshua, truly, the Lord has delivered into our hands all the land. Okay? Not just part of it. Not just what's in red. Okay, Christians, not just what's in red or what you like in the Bible. Okay, He wants you to go in all of it. All of it, okay? For even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. So they knew what was up. They knew what God had gave them, okay? And that kind of reminded me of even Joshua and Caleb. They were sent to spy too. And they were the only two that came back. Pretty much with the same words, we're well able to overtake them, right? That's the attitude that we need, all right? All right, so now it's really going to get boring if you can't stick with it. Because I'm about to read this entire chapter. That's what the Lord has led me to do. I don't like reading that much. But the Word of God just seems alive to me. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed. And it came to pass after 3 days, coincidence, 3 days, huh? The officers went through the host. They commanded the people, saying, we see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it. Then you shall remove from your place to go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed that way henceforth. Okay? So you know what this is saying to me? Your logic, your reason, your common sense, your morals really don't matter right now when you start going this spiritual walk, okay? Because the Holy Spirit's going to enable you in ways that I can't even tell you. I'm not going to venture to try to, but what I'm doing now, okay? Trying to stay general and keep it so that it applies to every person, because it does. But the Holy Spirit knows you so intimately, okay? I got to pause. Look, let's go. I'll just go back to Romans 8. Okay. He knows you intimately, intimately, intimately. The Holy Spirit does. I'm at verse 27. Okay. He searches the hearts. You can replace that with your mind too. He knows what is the mind of the Spirit because he makes intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God. Okay? That's the Holy Spirit, you guys. It's not just Hashaka Boduka. Okay? I feel like that's what it is sometimes for some people. Just an event to speak in tongues or something like that. You need the Holy Spirit power every single day. Every day. Or you're not really doing anything. Okay? God's not going to put you out there in your own strength. Doesn't he choose the weak things of the world? Okay? So you can see that it's his power. Okay? That's the Holy Spirit. He knows everything that you need specifically to the detail. Okay? And I'm trying to be serious as I can right now and not over bust or whatever, but you guys, the Holy Spirit is, okay? Oh my goodness. He brings you Christ. Don't you guys love Christ? Isn't he altogether lovely? You can't really get to him without the Holy Spirit. Okay, so he knows that. All right, flip back over. Joshua 3, read that second part of 4. That you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. Okay, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spoke unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that you may know that, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Okay? And I thought about that. The Lord said this to Joshua. Okay? But I guarantee you the Lord didn't want to magnify Joshua. Okay? Joshua knows this too, so let's keep reading. And you shall command the priest to bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you will stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is, look, among you. He didn't say that like God told Joshua. Okay, God said, I'm going to magnify you in their sights. Okay, look what Joshua said. Okay, that they'll be among you. God is among you. Okay, he didn't want that burden. Okay, it cracks me up when some people want to be preachers and stuff. Why I want that burden? Talk to Pastor Jesse about it. Really, that's a burden. I mean, you have to have a shepherd's heart for that. And God has to give you that. Not saying that we don't have all of the love of Christ as members of his body, because we do, too. But that's something that God makes. God ordains that, okay? And it's not anything to covet, ever. Okay? That's kind of foolish, really. Okay? But I'm sure that might be the feeling somewhat of what Joshua had to cause him to say that God will be among you. Okay? I'm not going to go pray to Pastor Jesse or confess to him or anything silly like that. I'm going to go straight by the throne of grace to Jesus Christ without anything in the way and get intercession for me when I need help in my time of need. Okay? All right? Not anything else, okay? He will, without fail, drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Gershonites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, okay? Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth pass over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take your 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above. And they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, just barely touching it, for the Jordan overflowed all his banks, all the time of harvest. So all throughout harvest time, this time of year, the Jordan was kind of flooding, right? It was overflowing. So it couldn't have looked more intimidating to them, okay? It was at its brink, you can say, and past that, okay? It was overflowing, all right? Verse 16, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap, very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. Look where they were already pointing to. The next battle, they were already looking at it. Okay, and the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over the Jordan. Wow. Okay, so we've seen a lot of things here, all right? First, notice that the Ark had to go before the people. Okay, that teaches us that it's the power that follows for all of them that followed, right? That's what God was making a point about. He made them stay back a distance, okay? About 3/5 of a mile, 3,168 feet. I did that calculation on Google, okay? They had to stay back from it, though. God was really trying to point this out, all right? That it was separate from them, in a sense, all right? It wasn't really theirs, their power. Okay, the Ark is Christ, the provision of Jesus, that he might dwell in the middle of a sinful nation. It carried the blood-sprinkled mercy seat, the overcoming of sin. How necessary, then, the instance upon the full length of separation between the incomparable work of the cross and that which is to follow, right? The Ark leads the way unto death. That's what Jordan means, by the way, to descend. To descend, okay? To go down. Sorry, bro. You know, my brother's name is Jordan. Okay? All that work was done by Christ. Okay? It opened the way. God did that he might dwell amidst a sinful nation, okay? Again, it carried that blood-sprinkled mercy seat, the appeasement for sin. Because the Ark and the provision of Christ went before us, we can go into our inheritance now, right? Remember, flesh and blood can't inherit it. Remember that, okay? It's all for that second man, okay? And that second man needs to be full of the Holy Spirit to really go in and inherit it, okay? Just think, everything that was Christ, including his resurrection power, that's made mine and yours, okay? It's for us. It's our provision. Like the King James Version says, I love how King James put words together. Okay, to us work that believe. To us work. That's three words. To us that believe. To us our direction. All of that. Okay, all of that resurrection power. That's in Ephesians 1:19. If you want to turn there, I'll read it real quick. Maybe I should take my time. So I'm going to read Ephesians 1:17 through 23. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power, there it is, to us who believe. Okay, all of that is to us work who believe. Now, let's just keep going. according to the working of his mighty power. What's that referring to? Holy Spirit, which he wrought in Christ when what? He raised Christ from the dead. Is there a greater demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit than that? Okay, yeah, there is. When he does it with me, and he takes us to the highest heavens with Christ Jesus, that's his plan. Okay, that's what he's saying here. Okay, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heaven, in the heavenly places. Sorry, some Christians think he went straight to the throne. Mm-mm. He's waiting for something, right? Do you really think the world would be like it is if Jesus Christ was on the throne right now? No way. No way. Okay, but he's not there yet. Okay, verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Okay, he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all things. Okay, again, that power which he displayed in Christ when he raised him from the dead, all of that power is yours. Okay, not for one event. Okay, I guarantee you it's not for one miracle. How many of you have had miracles today? Or not today, but maybe ever. All right, that's good. I think we all have, really. I really do. I really believe that. And just sit tight if the Lord tarries if you haven't had one. Keep believing him. You'll see, I'm talking about a divine, no other way but the hand of God miracle. Okay? And he does this, guys. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, even if you don't believe that or not. But the thing is, sometimes Jesus, I remember reading Jesus wouldn't do miracles where they didn't believe. They might want to just call him a prophet. Right? That's a shame. Okay? But just think. The Holy Spirit, all that power is accessed for us. For a life. Okay? A life. Okay? He mortifies the deeds of the flesh in us. Okay? He actually did it all already on the cross. There was nothing left. It was all finished as he yelled out. It was done there. Okay? But the Holy Spirit, like Pastor said, knocks on our head, our hard heads, you know, loosens that up, gets us to believe God, okay? Because you wouldn't do that. That's not something that's in you, really. It's in the new nature, in Christ, okay? All right, so all that power is ours. So let's turn back, and I think we're going to get close to ending it up. Back to Joshua. I wanted to look at verse 15. Okay, again, they that bear the ark came unto the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the waters. Okay, because it was already overflowing. Okay, in 16, the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap, very far from this. Heap very far from the city Adam. You guys remember what Adam, you know, Adam means man, right? I don't think it's a coincidence that this is there, okay? That city where it says it was also cut off, Zeratin, besides Zeratin, that means their distress. So put those together, human distress. He cut it off right there, right? Our real distress, not the fact that I couldn't pick my hair out today and it wasn't fluffy. I'm having a bad hair day. Not that. Not that distress. We're talking about the distress that will cause you really to come to Christ, you know? Or hopefully that's the plan of it. But, you know, he took that off. He cut it off right there. Okay? He cut off humanity's distress at its source and ended it there. That's what the cross of Calvary did. Way upstream, right? You get the picture? Okay. Then he had them go in, bearing the cross, going across there, again, to show us that's the way. Okay. Okay. So finally, now you're ready to go into the land when that happens. Okay. So finally, it starts with resurrection power, right? You really live by resurrection power, and Lord willing, it'll end by resurrection power too, right? And Pastor talked about this today too, in Philippians 3:9, in closing. Okay, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, right, which is of the law. And you might substitute that word law, okay, with maybe your own self, your own self-law, or your own code of morals, or decision-making skills, all of that, okay? That's what it does for you, don't you know that? That self-righteousness, that's what it is, okay? But that which is through faith of Christ, the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, okay, here it is in verse 10, that I may know him. Pastor said this morning too. Paul at this point knew Jesus at least 30-something years, okay? And he knew Christ, trust me. But there is always more to know. And he wanted to know him in a real sense, okay? In a realer sense, okay? Know him and the power of his resurrection. And I think about it. And I believe at this point, Ty, let me know, wasn't he already stoned to death at this point? And they drug his body outside of the city and left him for dead, Paul. And then the brothers came around him and prayed. You guys remember that? Right? Okay. He might have knew a little bit about that resurrection power there, but that's not what he was looking for. There was something more. And the fellowship of his sufferings, okay, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That's that out translation, right? That's that out translation. Look up that, all right? That's what we're looking for. And that's really what it's all about. That's why he unleashed the Holy Spirit for you, okay? It's not for an event. It's not for a miracle. It's not for anything that humans can applaud you for, okay? He wants to bring you directly to Christ and hopefully one day in the air, all right? I have to share this because it touched me. I was having coffee with my cousin, Niche, the other day, and she sincerely asked me, I hope I'm not embarrassing her, but she sincerely asked me, she was serious, do you think it's wrong to pray, to get called out, to meet Jesus in the sky? And she was so sincere, and I had to think for a second. We should love his appearing, you know, we really should. But I had to think for a moment. Well, maybe if enough of us pray, he might just do it. It's about time. I'm serious. I'm not even joking. That's what we're looking for, okay? It's an out translation, okay? It really is. So hopefully I want to see that. I want to be a part of that. I want to yield to the Holy Spirit and let that happen to me, okay? That's what he's going to lead me to. That's exactly where he's going to lead me to, okay? It's not about anything else. You know, sometimes people get caught up with things that humans do. Why? Think about it. What Christ has for you, if you were the only person, he would do all of this stuff for you in power of the Holy Spirit for you. All right. Well, with that being said, hope it was a blessing for all of you. I'll close this out. Thank you, Lord, for gathering us together. In your name, Lord, just to hear from your word, Lord, and be encouraged. Lord, it can't be long. It can't be much longer, Lord. We're just thankful that we're looking to that, Lord. We're loving your appearing, Lord. Lord, and if there's anyone who is otherwise minded, Lord, come in right now for them, Lord. Open their hearts up, Lord. Increase all of us that are here tonight that can hear this message, Lord. We're thankful for it again in the name of Jesus. Amen.